You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Welcome to Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I'm your host, Kara Bradley. I'm really excited to bring to you today a fantastic woman, Angela Caceres. She is from outside of San Diego, and she considers herself a messenger. So Angela is not only a truth teller, but she's a messenger, and I know she's going to bring some really incredible wisdom to us today. Welcome. Welcome, Angela. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be a part of this. Really, really excited.
Well, great. And thank you for being a truth teller for Women for One. We need you. We need truth tellers sharing stories and inspiring each other. How did you find Women for One?
Well, we need Women for One, too. I was actually at a transitional point in my life when I came across Women for One. And I was just embarking on a very spiritual journey and just a journey of self-discovery. And Women for One gave me the platform to speak a truth and really be able to clarify the direction that I wanted to go in my life. And releasing that and putting that out there was really what catapulted me into the next level.
That's great. I have a somewhat of a similar story in that the first time I submitted for Women for One, it was this this release, like you said. All of a sudden, I realized, wow, I've got something to share, and somebody wants to hear my story, and it gave me that juice that I needed to take it to the next level.
Right. Because it's so often we carry our stories around, but it's the willingness to go out there and get vulnerable and say, you know, this is my truth, and maybe I can help others, inspire them, and let them know they're not alone on their journey.
Yeah, terrific. I read a couple of your posts on Women for One and was really touched, spellbound by your story, and it's a simple story, but I'm so certain that there are so many people that are listening that have probably felt a similar way or had a similar experience. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to this place?
Yes. Well, actually, I think I mentioned to you separately about my story about how my name came to be. And I have to feel like I have to share that with you, that it's a funny story. My parents battled, as they still to this day do after being together for, you know, over 50 years. They battled on what to name me. And so they made a bet. And my mom won the bet. And she said if she was born and looked like her father, she would be named Angela. And so I was. I looked like my father, and they named me Angela, which means messenger. And so I look back on my life, and I realize that I've always been a messenger. And so, you know, going through my life, I realized when I got to the point where I had this big kind of epiphany, it was I had realized that I had lived my whole life relying on my intellect and relying on my mind and my brain to tell me how to navigate my world. And what I realized was that I kept running into roadblocks, and I had to take a step back and recognize that something wasn't right. I wasn't on the right path. And it was at a time when I had my life all planned out. I was going to get married, and I was going to have children. I was going to be a high-powered career woman and be highly successful and climb the corporate ladder, and had it all figured out as the planner that I was. And shortly after getting married, I was diagnosed with a condition that threatened my fertility. And so then it became immediately my goal that I was going to have children. And all of my energy and thoughts went into planning to have children and trying to conceive. And through a long, very, very challenging road of infertility treatments, failed infertility treatments, I hit rock bottom. And I realized in that rock bottom space, as often we do, we make the biggest discoveries there. And it was in that moment that I realized there was something much bigger that was happening. And so I went on a spiritual journey and went within and had to really just recognize that I had gotten away from my heart-centered intention and intuition, mind and body connection. And it was when I realized that, I discovered that, that I actually conceived naturally, had my daughter, and 3 months later conceived again. So I have two beautiful daughters now that are just a year apart. And, but it was quite a journey of a lot of troubled, moments and really low moments in my life. And it was from that point forward, I realized that I really needed to make, an effort to live from a heart-centered, connected space rather than relying on my mind and my intellect to tell me how to navigate my life. Wow. So the wisdom of the mind, body, spirit connection, so profound, and I've made it my life's work to now teach others.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that. You mentioned something in one of your posts on Women for One that you took a trip to New Mexico. And that was a real shift for you. Can you tell us about that? Because it's such an intriguing part of our country where there's, I always sense that there's just this ancient wisdom in the land and the people.
Yes, absolutely. What happened was after I hit rock bottom and I had really didn't know where to go, my mom invited me on a spiritual pilgrimage, so to speak. And she took me to a place in New Mexico that is known around the world as being this place of healing. And it is called Chimayo. And it's a little tiny, tiny little Catholic church in New Mexico. And people from all over the world go there and set their intentions and ask for healings and prayers. And it's this magical place. I mean, I can't even put into words the feeling that you get when you go into this space. And I have still my little jar of dirt that's there from the that I gathered from the this place. And the dirt is considered healing dirt, and it's this small little cave that you walk into underneath the church, and it's all lined with pictures of people from around the world that have asked for healings, and there's candles that are lit for the people that are suffering, and letters everywhere asking for healings and prayers for healings. And I was there and spent 2 days there in deep, deep, deep prayer and meditation. And that was actually my first experience with such a deep and profound spiritual moment. And I was there in August. And that was when I had that awakening of how I finally recognized what it felt like to get back into my heart and my body and connect that mind, body, and spirit. And I had an awakening, very, very profound awakening. And I came back in September and I, as I mentioned, conceived in September.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. Really unbelievable, unbelievably powerful experience. And I believe there is such wisdom in a lot of the ancient practices of our world.
Yeah. Well, I do as well. I love to hear it in action. It gives me that much more faith in our capacity, really, our capacity. So the church certainly holds healing power, but really it was what you brought there, your intention, your willingness to surrender, let go, and discover a new path, a new gateway. That really was what was needed, because the church has always been there, right? But it was what you were able to do in that environment. That's really powerful. And, you know, I tell people all the time in my own work as a yoga teacher, meditation teacher, you know, you already have all the answers. You know, the intelligence is so primed and ready to bubble up within us at all times. It's really a matter of our own willingness to let go and listen, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, from coming after coming out of that experience, I, you know, we teach the best what we need to learn the most, as I say. And so I really made a commitment from that point forward to remember that connection. And I raise my children the same way, teaching them. They have everything, like you mentioned, everything within them. It's a matter of relying on those other intelligence centers, the heart and the gut, and really being in tune with those other intelligence centers to navigate our lives.
Yeah. Can you tell us about perhaps what you tell your children or what you teach others? Could you give us something that perhaps we can connect with or do on a daily basis tonight or in the morning that could help us, those listening, connect with our gut or our heart?
Yes, absolutely. One easy practice that's anybody can do it. It only takes a few moments. You know, you're familiar, you teach yoga and meditation. And what I hear a lot from people is that it's sometimes difficult just starting out for them to meditate, for them to keep clear their minds. And they get so preoccupied with not being able to clear their mind that they aren't able to actually achieve a still mind. So what I talk a lot about is body scan. And it's very, very easy and simple to do. And it kind of satisfies the intellect in the sense that you can focus on something, but yet you're still practicing quieting your mind. So it's a very simple process, and you can start just standing in a comfortable position and just start from the head down all the way to the feet. And as you scan through each part of your body, you're not judging what you're feeling. You're not trying to change what you're feeling. So you're just going through and noticing the sensations. So, you know, for an example, if you went down from the top of your head and you felt, you know, tenseness in your jaw, tightening in your jaw, or, you know, tension in your shoulder, you wouldn't adjust it. You just recognize it, go all the way through your body. And then what I do at the end is that you go back and with curiosity, you ask, what was the most profound sensation or the most curious sensation that you felt? Go back into that sensation and just kind of breathe some oxygen and awareness to it and ask your body if it possibly has a message to give you. And I know that sounds maybe kind of, you know, it might be a difficult concept to wrap your head around, but when you really understand how our bodies are constantly speaking to us, it really, and you start to practice that, our bodies are more in tune to what's happening around us than our intellect is. Our gut and our heart brain are more perceptive than our head brain. We just rely on the head brain. And so if we can start to get in the practice of being in tune with that, we could learn all kinds of really valuable information about what's going on with the people we're interacting with, what's happening in our surroundings, and it's invaluable. And one of my passions is teaching that to children and teaching us adults to not condition it out of our children, because it's a built-in survival system we were all born with. And we really need to learn to embrace all three intelligence centers to really be able to live fully and to live to our greatest potential.
Hear, hear. You're speaking my language. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that's so easy to do. And, you know, we easily intellectualize those sensations that we feel. One of the examples I always give, super simple, is when my girls were really little and we'd walk through large crowded places. And my daughters would say, as somebody seemingly, quote, normal would walk by, and they'd say, "Mom, that person gave me a funny feeling in my tummy." That's a child who hasn't been conditioned out of them to say, "I'm sensing something here." But unfortunately, as our society, we tell them, "Oh, you're being silly. Oh, you know, that's not real." And we intellectualize and make excuses. And that's how we start to get away from listening to our bodies. Yet what our bodies have to tell us is so valuable.
Well said. Yeah. And I often think that, we don't even have to figure out what it is. For instance, like you said, if you're asking your body for a message, you may not be able to verbalize, "Well, you know, my stomach gave me this feeling that I should, you know, leave my job." I mean, it may not be that crystal clear, but what happens over time is we start to become fluent in the language of sensation. Right. And we start to just understand the subtle sense of direction, of guidance that's being, that's emerging from our physical body.
Absolutely. And you're building trust with that communication between your body and your head, because that's what we're trying to do, is make sense of it. And you're right. I tell clients a lot of times when we go through a body scan, they'll say, well, I heard a poetic phrase when I asked for a message, or I saw a color, or I saw, it doesn't matter what the message is necessarily. Like you said, it doesn't have to be crystal clear. It's the practice of getting used to listening and trusting your body. And then the idea is that once you go back in, just to wrap that part up, when you go back into that sensation, you get that message. Once you get that message, if you go back into that sensation, the sensation will be lessened or softer. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you've received the message. Mm-hmm. If it's not, you can continue to keep going back in. And it's just building that trust and that awareness.
Excellent. Thank you. So based on your own experience with kind of being all head and a little bit separated from perhaps your heart and gut, right, and having this experience of dealing with failed infertility, this is what awakened you to all of these new gateways, new pathways for living fully, truly living fully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was from that point that I decided to go back to school and get a degree. And I was going to be a marriage and family therapist. And I was going to help other couples like myself and my husband to navigate through infertility. And so I went to school and I got a degree in human development. And it was at that point that I was getting ready to go on to my higher education as a marriage and family therapist that my daughter began riding horses. And I spent so many hours out there at the barn waiting for my daughter to get done with riding. And what I noticed over time was that when I would get there and I would be thinking of the long list, you know, all the mind again, of all the things I had to complete and things that I needed to do and looking at the clock, I noticed that over time, every time that we would leave, I would feel more heart-centered. I would feel calmer. I would feel more authentic in my state of being. And it occurred to me, wow, what is the potential here? What could these amazing animals possibly offer us in terms of healing? And so I started researching everything I could about the healing capabilities of horses. And that's when I discovered the amazing power they have to mirror back to us our true authentic state of being. And so that's what I do today, is I bring horses and humans together, and I teach people to be able to get back into listening to the heart and the gut brain. And the reason horses are amazing at this is because they only have that to rely on. Mm-hmm. So they're prey animals. So they can only rely on that nonverbal communication, sensing their surroundings, sensing the physical and emotional state of others around them to be able to survive. So they reflect back to us that true authentic state of being. So, you know, we get people, you know, I get people that come out there and they show up, as we all do oftentimes, as, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I feel okay. And the horses tell us something different.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy you brought this up. I smiled ear to ear when I saw your bio about working with horses. Now, I'm a girl from Brooklyn, so I have zero experience with horses up until just a few years ago when I visited a friend up in Connecticut, Benita Roy, who does this same work. And I have to tell you all that are listening, it changed my life in one afternoon, because it brought me into a situation where the horse was sensing something in me. And we had just a moment in the corral that I experienced a very similar energy that I often experience or had experienced with certain people that I've worked with that have challenged me. And it was like, it was the same exact feeling. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. From that day forward, I have never forgotten that. And it really started the healing process for me to recognize this energy in people and for me to then be able to pause and pay attention to how I reacted or what I said in those situations.
Right. Right. I mean, it's unbelievable the healing that can happen, the transformation that can happen when we can see experientially how we show up with other living beings, because we've built these this survival system or this these patterns to rely on, like you're mentioning, you know, this pattern that you would always go back to keep yourself safe in the presence of, let's say, a very dominant person or, you know, something like that. I had a similar situation. I had issues with setting boundaries with people, and I would continuously, because I'm so big-hearted, I always wanted to help, but I would be taken advantage of over and over and over. So my impersonal experience, just one aspect, was learning to set boundaries that were healthy and still maintaining a connection with others while being able to set firm boundaries to protect myself. And so it's unbelievable what you can accomplish or what you can recognize in how you show up when you're out there with these horses. And it's just, well, you yourself experienced it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, I mean, just to bring it down into the simplest terms, if you're trying to ask the horse to go right or say to turn right, and you're sort of muddled in your intention for the horse to turn right, the horse will not move. I mean, it just makes it that clear how clearly you intend things out there. And that was, I mean, it was so simple and so vivid and so distinct, because I couldn't move this, you know, very large animal. And as soon as I got very clear that I needed the horse to move right, it felt my energy shift and it moved right immediately.
Right, right. And you bring up a great point for the listeners to understand even better the ideas of working with these horses. Like you mentioned, asking them to turn right. What I see oftentimes is I will have, let's say, women that come out there and they will make a request for the horse to turn or to trot around, and the horse doesn't listen to them. And then before I know it, I have a woman out in the center of the round pen freaking out and flailing her arms and begging and pleading and screaming and, you know, in frustration. And she goes, "Oh my God, this is what it's like when I ask my kids to clean their room," or, you know, "This is what it's like when I ask my husband to do, you know, X, Y, or Z," or in the work. And that's a good example of how we show up, you know, in our relationships. And so it's teaching, for example, those people to understand the dial that they have where they can go from 0 to 10 and how to get their needs met in a way that is effective and healthy while maintaining connection with this other living being. So what I really love about it is it's experiential. I'm just holding that space of possibility for people. I'm holding the mirror, so to speak, but I'm not there judging. It's not about breaking you down and telling you all the things that are wrong with you per se, and, you know, pointing out all the flaws. It's more about you just being able to see yourself experientially how you show up, and just see where you can build a new toolbox that's maybe a little bit healthier and a little bit more effective for you to live as your highest self.
Well said. That is so beautiful. Wow, this has been chock full of information. Really fantastic. Angela's website, in case you're interested, tassicasa.com. I'm going to have you spell that, Angela.
Sure. It's TASICASA.com. And it's Tassi is teaching authentic social intelligence, which is really, if we need to satisfy our intellect by putting a label on it, that's what it stands for, in addition to being the name of my horse. So, so that's my website visit. And, you know, one of my biggest passions and projects right now is working on bringing some of these concepts into the school systems to teach the next generation how to hold on to that wisdom of our heart and our gut, so that our future leaders of this world can rely on all three intelligence centers and build connection and help to heal the world.
Well, I'm going to leave it on that, because I can't top that. That was fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. And we hope to have you back next time for Real Women, Courageous Wisdom.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.